Radio Daily for Anti-Friday. Making it even harder, our first complete day without Ned Beatty. That was right in the feels, man.
Otisburg.
Right in the feels. Welcome to the 14th of June with the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the places and things that you do. The folks bringing it to you today, the lady that you never want to really ask what her true, honest opinion is. It's the Flintsters.
You're not well-liked. You're abrasive and off-putting.
Because, see, it's going to come right.
Oh.
Right where it's supposed to be. So that's why I don't like dealing with things like that. I'm the one for Billy Flynn.
Boy, if I were president, I'd put a stop to matters. That's what I'd do. I'd make a proclamation.
Yes, I would.
Wow.
And rock out on more karaoke. That was awesome. What happened, Joe?
Well, let's take it back to 1648. Margaret Jones is hanged in Boston for witchcraft in the first such execution in the Massachusetts colony.
Which was all a buzz on International Webloggers Day, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
1822, Charles Babbage announces his invention of a small mechanical difference engine able to carry out complex operations at a rate of about 12 calculations a minute.
Ooh, 1822, that's pretty crazy. 1834, the first U.S. patent for a practical underwater diving suit is issued to Leonard Norcross of Dixfield, Maine. Calling it diving armor, he designed the airtight leather outfit with a brass helmet connector via a rubber hose to an air bellows pump on a boat. They had one, a really cool replica of one, as you were walking into the Loch Ness Monster in Busch Gardens. Remember that?
And in my aquarium. 1881, six patents are issued to Thomas Edison for electrical inventions. I won't name them.
1884, New York becomes the first state in the U.S. to enact legislation requiring the utility wires to be buried.
What, I can't leave them just laying on the ground? 1898, three patents are issued for Thomas Edison for a drying apparatus, a phonograph, and a mixer.
1922, U.S. President Warren G. Harding gives a speech at the dedication of the Francis Scott Key Memorial in Baltimore that is broadcast by local radio station WEAR. It's the first time a U.S. president had been broadcast live.
1923, Charles Francis Jenkins gives the first true demonstration of television or motion picture by wireless using NOF, the call letters for radio phone broadcasts from Anacostia Naval Air Station in D.C.
Same year, Charles Francis Jenkins makes his first experimental wireless television transmissions with a mechanical system called Radiovision from the Navy radio station in Anacostia. So it was like two different technologies, but it was the first for both of them, and they both deserve recognition.
And that was his TED Talk. 1938, issue number one of Action Comics is released by National Allied Publications, which will become DC Comics. It's the first comic book to feature Superman by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. The issue sells for 10 cents each, but goodness, that thing's over $1 million, $2 million bucks now.
Easily. 1941, John Mulchey arrives in Iowa City for a meeting with John Atanasoff to see his computer. The two computer pioneers will later dispute who will be named the legal inventor of the electronic digital computer in court. Atanasoff will emerge from a long and tangled legal battle as the victor.
Spoilers. 1942, the first bazooka manufactured in Bridgeport, Connecticut is field tested, demolishing a tank.
That'd be a fun moment in time.
Right.
In your time machine. 1943, Greyhound proposes using helicopter buses for large-scale public travel in an application filed with the Civil Aeronautics Board.
Makes sense to me.
God, that would have been cool.
1945, the first surviving draft of Plankulalu, the planned calculus, the first high-level algorithmic programming language for engineering, bears this date, written by Conrad Zuse, who intended to use it as a doctoral dissertation.
1948, the television guide program listing journal is launched in New York by publisher Lee Wagner. The publication will eventually evolve into the TV guide.
1951, the UNIVAC 1, the first commercial general-use computer, is unveiled and dedicated in Philadelphia 5 years after the completion of the ENIAC, the first electronic computer in the U.S.
1954, the Dumont Television Network, the world's first commercial television network, opens its telecenter.
Good day by all. 1962, the European Space Research Organization, which will one day become the European Space Agency, is established in Paris, France.
In 65, inward wide area telephone service, known as Watts, service is introduced on a trial basis in the state of Alabama by AT&T in an attempt to reduce the time spent by operators processing toll calls for business clients.
1967, NASA launches the Mariner 5 space probe on a mission to Venus from Cape Canaveral.
Mm-hmm. 1981, on Saturday, June 13th and Sunday, June 14th, both days, David Janisse, age 19, played a top-scoring game of Asteroid that lasted for 36 hours and 29 minutes at the Rainbow Roller Rink in Beaumont, Texas.
1985, Paramount Pictures releases the sci-fi film Daryl, directed by Simon Wynn. Spencer, starring Barrett Oliver, Mary Beth Hurt, Michael McKean, Danny Cockrell. It centers around a robot built in the form of a boy who was so lifelike, he's mistaken for a real boy.
Oh, no. 1989, Nintendo releases the puzzle game Tetris for Game Boy in Japan.
1996, Columbia Pictures releases the underappreciated The Cable Guy, directed by Ben Stiller, starring Jim Carrey, Matthew Broderick, Leslie Mann, and Jack Black.
People were just not ready for that. 97, Tamagotchi, a cell phone company with a Tamagotchi built in, is released in Japan.
1996, in the case of Robot Wars versus BattleBots, a U.S. court rules that Robot Wars has no right to prevent BattleBots from holding tournaments.
Okay. 2001, a study conducted by Edison Media Researches reveals that 5.5% of Americans aged 16 to 40 have actively downloaded music from the internet. That was the death knell of those former technologies.
I just bought one. 2005, the bulk of the Solaris operating system is released on the opening launch day of the Sun Microsystems Open Solaris project.
Same year, Google officially launches Google Maps for Enterprise as a commercial service featuring intranet and advertisement-free implementations.
2071, Wayland Cybernetics announces the immediate recall of the David 7 models. There were some issues. Birthdays?
Lucy Hale is 31 from Bionic Woman, Pretty Little Liars, Truth or Dare, and Life Sentence.
Yasmin Bleeth is 52 from Baywatch, Nash Bridges, Basketball.
Trailer Howard is 54, Two Guys and a Girl in a Pizza Place, and Natalie on Monk.
Will Patton is 66, Armageddon, Falling Skies, That Guy in About 100 Million Movies.
Yep. Joe Grafasi is 76 from Splash, FX, and the Naked Gun movies.
Marla Gibbs is 89, Florence on the Jeffersons and Checking In. Huh? Chatting up? 227 and Meteor Man.
No longer with us, born in 1811, Harriet Beecher Stowe, the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin.
1909, Burl Ives, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, The Snowman and Rudolph, and his spoken word album? Oh yeah, you should.
Born in 1919, Jean Barry, Dr. Clayton Forrester in War of the Worlds.
Dr. Clayton Forrester.
Well, none of that is going to be on TV tonight, but we'll get on CBS a rerun of The Neighborhood, Bob Hart's Abishola, NCIS New Orleans, and a rerun of Bull.
So many reruns. ABC The Bachelorette, then Hannah Brown and Nicole Byer on a new The Celebrity Dating Game.
Yeah, no thanks. NBC Swimming, 2020 U.S. Olympic Team Trials, and Team USA on a new Small Fortune.
Fox has a new Hell's Kitchen and the premiere of Housebroken again. How many times is it going to premiere? And a new Duncanville.
Sure. On the CW, we get a new All-American, and a rebellious high school teacher attempts to stop her estranged brother. Company from extracting a valuable mineral from underneath her small New Hampshire town by declaring the town, which is never officially claimed by the U.S., independent. It's the premiere of the Republic of Sarah.
So these sovereign citizens? Freeform has The Wedding Planner.
AMC is showing Shooter.
If that was a crossover, yeah. Bravo! Captain Glenn keeps a close eye on his crew as they contemplate partying with the guests.
Uh-oh.
And the group visits a castle while Gary turns the hot tub into a party on a new below deck sailing yacht. What?
FX has Spider-Man Homecoming.
FXX, your Simpsons marathon, The Scorpion's Tale, A Midsummer's Night's Dream, and Love is a mini strangled thing. Puns.
Puns. FXM is showing Spy.
Paramount has come into America.
On Sci-Fi, Death Wish, the Bruce Willis one.
That makes sense to me. Turner Classic Movies is showing Saboteur, since we referenced that particular movie like 8 times last week.
Huh. TBS Roger opens up to Klaus by revealing one of his secret passions. Stan and Francine take action against the Bazooka Sharks management. And, you know, that's a new American Dad. Also a new Final Space.
Ooh, but tonight's the Lifetime Movie Network. After a young woman meets her twin sister for the first time, she realizes her newly discovered sister wants to steal her identity so that she can inherit the family fortune and escape the repercussions of a recently committed murder. Jennifer Taylor and Lauren York star in Twisted Twin.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. An investigator for hire named EJ is killed, and his brother Chad, a former cop, investigates his death. He uncovers a web of corruption within the police department. But to pay some bills, he also solves a case for the music industry. But he's gonna find the answers he seeks. See, Chad stays out late at night, man. That's how you find the secrets. He will talk to his informants, Frank and Ava, and once he solves it, this gonna be capital news. Hashtag Chabby forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, it's not, because everyone is still Dad baiting me, I mean, damn. But you should know that last week, Chad and Abby were on Deception, which quite a few people knew. But overall for the month, Adam knew about the Redhead Gang, as he told us, simply by saying the Redhead Gang and his name. Adam's not that verbose, but Adam, we'll talk more because we got to figure out where to send you a fantastic prize.
Congratulations, Adam.
If you'd like to try to win yourself one, by all means, you need to drop us a note and tell us where you think they are. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Send us a voicemail or text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
And yeah, karaoke was great, but poker is this Saturday. What?
Yeah.
Do you like to study? Are you kind to creatures of all shapes and sizes? Do you believe in monsters? Then Baron Davis and the Monster Rangers want you. Monsters hide in plain sight. Boys and girls can see them, and so can you if you just use Baron Davis's patented Imaginate process involving self-discipline, wonder, and candy. Monster Rangers are kind, honorable, spooky, thrifty, and irreverent. While the evil Dr. Duke Davis and his plug uglies are mean, full of bunk, and your run-of-the-mill mullygrubs. Join us to help defend the land of Monstru. Monsters around the globe are in trouble and need our help. So if you've got the moxie, then log on to your nearby terminal and go to monsterrangers.com. Believe, study, protect.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
You're listening to it with everyone, hands across America, or the world. I don't know how any of that works, but that's basically what I'm saying.
Okay, give me your all.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength.
Look it up. Oh my goodness. What fantastic things from Drive-Thru RPG can we waste time with this week?
Well, remember a time when many scholars dwelled? Being the most prestigious academy in the land, the students here studied rigorously and were tested frequently. The magic and knowledge was so vast that it had lingering effects since the site was abandoned, and the present-day adventurers can feel the effects as they explore the ruins. The magic manifests strongest during high-stakes actions such as combat. An astute mind will strike true, but adventurers that are unprepared often find themselves swinging at the air. This manifests in the gameplay as trivial, like question cards. Attacking and defending in combat will require the players to answer questions based on the difficulty of the action, with correct answers leading to success. Ah, it's like a combination of trivia and like D&D. It's perfect. The rule book comes with 15 different question sets, spanning a variety of topics and template sheets to make your own trivia sets. So this is Rune Academy from Rapid Shot Network.
A rules-light three-page tabletop role-playing game for two or more players focused on surviving on a primordial planet. You play as a group of microscopic primordial creatures with a set of random mutations. As you journey through the world, you'll grow in size, mutating further until you establish yourselves as the dominant species on the planet. Or die trying. Start as the size of an amoeba, end at the size of a T-Rex.
Wow.
Combat is fast-paced and focused on contested roles from all those involved. Grab, bite, sting, dodge, spit, acid, and more in a combat system based on acting, reacting, and keeping track of your stamina. Be careful not to overextend yourself. You might find yourself powerless in the face of a deadly predator in Primordial from Ross Eaglesham.
That sounds kind of cool. Well, a lot cooler than being a parent and a monster hunter, because that's hard work. From kicking the butts of extraterrestrial terrors to coming home and seeing how perfect your rival's lawn looks. There are a lot of challenges living your second life. Take on the mantle of the parental and use your life experience to show the other hunters how it's done. Just be careful not to get your family roped into your mess, or else the keeper might just put their lives on the line. Pay what you want for the parental playbook from Jason Burns.
The galaxy has entered a dark age where human life has no value. Sharpers have to fight for their lives while trying to earn enough money for food and spaceship fuel. If you love the original Synthesite, this is a chance to experience its galaxy in a whole new way. The planets will be updated to provide location-specific missions, and the baked-in faction system will bring the galaxy to life. If you're a fan of Forget the Dark Engine and new to Synthesite, become a backer to see Synthesite's grim, dark, lethal cyberpunk themes as expressed in a perfectly suited system for free. Get Synthesite Sharpers in the Dark Quick Start from Will Power Games.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Kevin Bacon.
What?
Has joined Legendary's reboot of Troma Entertainment's 1984 film The Toxic Avenger as the film's antagonist.
That'll really give him a chance to cut loose, foot loose.
Bacon star joins a strong cast with Peter Dinklage, Game of Thrones, starring as the disfigured hero Toxic Avenger. Jacob Tremblay from Room and Taylor Page from Zola have joined the cast as well. Shooting will begin this summer in Eastern Europe with film writer and director Macon Blair.
If we're going to move forward, this is the next logical step.
Bacon is no stranger to villainous roles and shady characters. He played an invisible stalker and murderer in the 2000 movie Hollow Man, Jacques in 2010 Super, Sebastian Shaw in X-Men First Class, Currently, he's in the critically acclaimed Boston crime drama series City on the Hall for Showtime.
Wow, the MCU should get him. I mean, he was the best Quicksilver after all.
That is true. 1984's Toxic Avenger, known as the ultimate cult classic B-action horror film, premiered in 84, followed struggling blue-collar worker Melvin Ferd, who is pushed into a vat of toxic waste and transformed into a mutant with super strength and must race against time to save his son, friends, community from corruption and greed, and now must find a way to stop Kevin Bacon. And if that doesn't give the Toxic Avenger pause, it certainly gives him tremors.
Well, the year of Zack Snyder continues. We finally got Justice League, the Snyder Cut. Netflix unleashed an army of the dead to some surprisingly positive reviews. And the Netflix Snyder venture continues.
Is he going to remake 300 Rise of an Empire so it's actually directed by him?
No. Netflix announced Snyder's next project, Twilight of the Gods, a Norse mythology-inspired series that gives Snyder some room to tell stories about Loki, Thor, and Odin without intruding into the, you know, wonderful world of Disney.
Just imagine, though, what a Zack Snyder Fantasia would be like. I mean, a color-washed, adrenaline-time sorcerer's apprentice set to Hallelujah.
Well, Snyder said it's my take on Norse mythology. It's just going to be like anything you've ever seen, man. In animation, we can do anything we want. So fun and fun for all of us. The creatives involved have just been going nuts.
They say it's really going to surprise you. You think you know where it's going and then wham! Sucker punch.
Netflix is calling the show an anime series, though that can mean almost anything. I mean, larger than average eyes, I guess, is a staple. But if there's any justice in the world, it would be an animated adventure that is a super secret sequel to The Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahool.
Microsoft's Xbox has unveiled plans to release its own streaming stick as well as a smart TV app for cloud gaming.
Xbox, our vaporware is real.
Confirming what many have been saying would happen for years now, Microsoft does intend to drastically expand the accessibility of the Xbox experience through new hardware and software, most notably its Project X Cloud, which is now known as Xbox Cloud Gaming.
Yeah, the 2005 kid who dreams of flying while asleep in a hospital bed?
A different game. Officially launched last year and available to subscribers of Game Pass Ultimate, Xbox Cloud Gaming users will be able to access over 200 cloud-hosted games with only an internet connection and any Xbox-compatible gamepad. For those TVs that don't support the app, they'll be providing a streaming stick as a workaround until more streamlined solutions are developed.
Xbox will always offer you accessories to buy.
Truth. Not confined to TV screens, though. Xbox Cloud Gaming will be available through web browsers, Edge, Chrome, Apple Safari. That support comes in the next few weeks, according to Executive VP of Gaming at Microsoft, Phil Spencer. Right now, we're the only platform shipping games on console, PC, and cloud simultaneously, boasted Spencer, who is head of the Xbox brand. The reach of Xbox Cloud Gaming shall extend to mobile browsers as well, allowing gamers to play Xbox on their smartphones and tablets. And they really believe people are ready for this Switch.
Well, interesting news. Intellivision Entertainment has hired Chuck LaBella to lead its entertainment acquisitions efforts.
Retro is so profitable, they are still around?
Yes, the video game pioneer company is still around and has a new system coming out called Amico, and has a vice president who will work with marketing and business development and will be responsible for generating new intellectual property for Intellivision to develop into video games.
And of course it will be the closest thing to the real thing.
LaBella most recently consulted for Warner Home Television, for Warner Horizon Television, Fox's Let's Be Real, and The Masked Singer, HBO's Max's Full Bloom, and ABC's Holy Moly. He previously served as the vice president of talent development at NBC Universal, helping with the development of many of the network's unscripted programming.
Unscripted expert working for the Pressable Circle Company? I kind of understand that.
Right? Amico will come with two easy-to-use color touchscreen controllers and designed to be fun for all ages, according to Intellivision's own description. It continues with a broad variety of family-friendly games and a proprietary system that adapts gameplay for any skill level. Players of all backgrounds can truly enjoy gaming together, which sounds about as fake and bad as an Intellivision controller looked. But hey, I'd like to play a new Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Cloudy Mountain. Not 5th edition. Thacko!
Or die, baby. And to close our video game-centric day, EA, Electronic Arts, the publisher of the Battlefield series and so many other popular franchises, has been hacked.
Uh-oh.
Multiple underground hacking forums found hackers claiming that they had taken more than 780 gigs of data from the company.
So what, like three expansions?
They did get the source code for FIFA 2021 and both the source code and tools for EA's proprietary Frostbite game engine. Some of the other assets the hackers claimed they took from the company include several software development kits. Those responsible are trying to sell the assets.
Well, will there be copies for Ultimate and Legendary Editions?
EA said in a statement, "We are investigating a recent incident of intrusion into our network where a limited amount of game source and related war tools were stolen. No player data was accessed, and we have no reason to believe there's any risk to player privacy. Following the incident, we've already made security improvements and do not expect an impact on our games or our business. We're actively working with law enforcement officials and other experts as part of the ongoing criminal investigation."
See? Hate Facebook, not us.
EA isn't the only video game publisher to get hacked this year. The buggy launch of Cyberpunk 2077, CD Projekt Red was hit by a ransomware attack, and in that case, the hackers obtained and eventually sold the source code to the studio's latest game. CD Projekt Red also blamed the hack for the delay in getting Cyberpunk's 1.2 patch out. For now, it appears EA is confident it won't be affected in the same way. In fact, they planned on just releasing the damn thing anyway. Or at least you have a chance at it if you get it from a loot box. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
Ding.
I am late on the cutting room floor this week, but it's happening. I'm working. I'm making stuff happen. It's getting there. And I flog me. Just flog me. That's what. Drop us a note, won't you, please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a text, mail, a voice message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-KRILL.
And we'll see you.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
No, it must not end like this.
Welcome to Nerd School. Nerd.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Drebin, police squad.
Oh, I remember you, Drebin. What do you want?
I want to ask you some questions. You familiar with that face?
I don't know. My memory ain't so great.
Oh, yeah? Maybe this will refresh your memory.
I don't know. It's still kind of hazy.
How about this?
Yeah, I remember him. I used to see him around. Why do you want to know?
I can't tell you that.
Well, maybe this will help.
I really don't think I should.
Yeah, you still don't think so?
All right, his name is Nordberg. He's a cop.
He was no cop. He was dealing H.
What?
I'm telling you, he was dirty.
Oh, you sniveling scum. I ought to run you in right now.
All right. He worked at Ludwig Shipping. He tried to push something on one of my boys, I swear it. So what are you going to do about it, copper?
Well, why should I tell you?
Maybe this will help.
I still don't think I should tell you.
Can you spot me a 20? How about now?
All right, I'm going down to Ludwig's office. I'll find out if you're telling the truth.